The question I'm looking at today is the question that Jesus asked, and if you look at the cover of your bulletin, you'll see the picture. This is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus says to his disciples here, it's in a number of the Gospels, but I'm looking at Matthew chapter 26, verses 36 to 41, where Jesus says, "Could you not stay awake with me even for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you won't fall into temptation." And he says, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And where I really want to focus the emphasis on this message today, sometimes we overemphasize the flesh is weak. But the good news that we want to come out of here today with is the spirit is willing. The spirit is willing, and the spirit is willing to keep us awake, to keep us alert. You know, staying awake, and we've got some nurses here today, Becca, Katrina, Audrey, three in a row there, people who work the night shift. You guys know what it's like to stay awake. That's hard. How many of you others work the night shift different ways? Cleet, Diane, you guys work the night shift, different people. There's a time to sleep and a time to be awake, and you know if you've ever driven through the night, if you've ever done something, we have to stay awake. That's not easy to stay alert when you're feeling drowsy, when you want to fall asleep. You know, a couple weeks ago, the Cubs and the Indians were in the World Series. And I'm a baseball fan, and I love the historical part of the game. And so for the Cubs to be in the World Series, I was rooting so hard for them to win. And then it was Game 7, and that's a baseball fan's dream. And I was going to stay up, and I was going to watch history get made. The Cubs beat the Indians. And it's midnight, and I'm getting tired, but I'm pushing through. I'm going to watch history, and the Cubs are winning, and then the Indians tie it up, and then it started to rain. And I gave up. I said, you know what? The Indians are going to win anyway. The rain delay will go 2 hours. I'm going to bed. And I did. And then I woke up the next morning and saw 30 minutes later, the Cubs won the World Series, and I missed watching history. And for me, it's this, I missed it. I want that moment back. I want that moment back. But what I want to emphasize here today is this. Why does God call us to stay awake? Yes, there's temptation in going to sleep spiritually, but more than that, I believe God says, I have opportunities for you that I don't want you to miss. And that we can go to sleep spiritually and lose our alertness to what God wants to do with us. You know, what are the things that put us to sleep? All kinds of things. Like bitterness will put you to sleep spiritually. It really will. Resentment will put you to sleep spiritually. Unforgiveness, self-centeredness, all kinds of things will dull us to being alert to what God wants to do through us. And isn't it true? Sleep is a really funny thing. Do you ever sit with somebody, maybe you're watching a movie, or maybe someone's you're trying to keep someone awake who's driving, and they're falling asleep, and then they say, no, I wasn't falling asleep. Someone's sitting beside you in church, and they're falling asleep, and on the way home, you're saying to your spouse, you were falling asleep in church during Tom's sermon. And says, no, I wasn't. And the wife says, yes, you were. I heard you breathing deeply. You know, when you're asleep, you don't know you're asleep. No one ever in the middle of the night, at least I don't, say, wow, this sleep is awesome. No, it's when the alarm goes off, you're like, that was pretty good sleep. But in the middle of it, you don't know you're sleeping. And I really think there's something really there with us spiritually, that when we are asleep spiritually in some way, we don't know it. We don't know it. And that's why this invitation to us this morning is to wake up. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, yes, but the spirit is willing to keep us awake. And I think, you know, you think about our lives, how many times we experience things where something will happen. You know, we get tests of our character all the time, and there's a quote that someone said, it's always a pop quiz when our character gets tested. Let me give you an example. You know, someone says something to you that you find offensive. And what you have in a temptation like that, it's both an opportunity and a temptation. Temptation seems to always come with an opportunity. Someone slights you in some way. You know, and just to name the elephant in the room, you know, it's an election season and we're still in it. And it's that season where we are easily offended. And, you see on Facebook, oh, how many people are unfriending all their friends, or I'm unfriending all these people who say what I disagree with. That's the environment we're still in. And it's a, when someone in any way offends us, there's an opportunity to respond as Christ would respond. Temptation and opportunity. I think about, you know, my role as a parent. You know, there's all the time, we're finding our way in this as our children get older. And as parents, we don't always get it right. And teenagers know that teenagers don't always get it right either. And there's opportunity and there's temptation. And then there's the reality that we all have of mini crises or real crises in our lives. You know, both cars break down at the same time. That happened to us actually about a month ago. It's like, how can this be? Crises. And in that moment, there's temptation to respond in the wrong way, but also opportunity. Opportunity to be faithful. Opportunity to reveal godly character. The pop quiz comes. And you never know quite when it's coming, but God is able to keep us awake to respond in the right way. Let me give you an example of a story of someone who I think, it's one of the best stories I know of someone who was spiritually awake for the moment that came. And it's I've told this story before, but a lot of you it's going to be new. Our Bishop Lloyd Hoover, one Saturday afternoon, he's sitting there in his office at home and he's working. He's got a lot to do. And I know how Saturdays feel sometimes when you're not where you want to be. He's working on a sermon, he's doing this and he's doing this, and he's got a lot to do, and he has no time for anything else except what he's got to get done. And then a car crashes into his horse fence, the fence around his meadow. Someone was texting or fell asleep, or somehow they ran into his fence. He doesn't have time for this. And I'm thinking, if I'm in his shoes at that point, I'm really irritated. I'm angry. I don't have time for this. Let's get this. Let's set this person straight. Give him a piece of my mind. But Lloyd goes out there, and he's talking to people, and he's in the middle of all this. And along the way, somehow, in talking to the young man who wrecked into his fence, Lloyd has the spiritual awakeness to recognize a place of need in this young man's life, and is able to carry this conversation beyond what happened to the fence and the car, and is able to minister to this guy, and long story short, ends up leading him to Jesus, right up there by his broken fence. And for me, it's saying, that's how I want to be. I want to be awake enough that when the crisis comes, when the word of offense comes, when this or that happens that it tests our character, that we're able to be awake enough to see the opportunity that's there that always comes in the form of some temptation. You know, we're looking at Peter, the disciple. We'll get to this one. But, you know, Peter starts off at the Last Supper where Jesus says to him, he says, you know, I'm telling you, all of you are going to desert me. And Peter's real confident. He says, no, not even if everybody else deserts you, I won't desert you. And Jesus says, actually, Peter, let me tell you, before the rooster crows three times, you're going to desert me three times. You're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows. No way, says Peter. He's confident. It's like the guy who's getting ready to drive all night. I'll never fall asleep. Not me. I can stay awake. And then that person is the very one who falls asleep. It's like Peter's confident in his own ability to stay awake. And Jesus says, I'm telling you. Then he says out by the garden, he says, stay awake. He says, because I don't want you to fall into temptation. And then he comes back. He returns to his disciples and found them sleeping. Could you men not keep watch with me for 1 hour? He asked Peter. Watch and pray so you won't fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You know, we'll never know this, but I have a feeling that Jesus had something else in mind for his disciples in that moment. There was an opportunity. This is how it played out, but there was some way that Jesus wanted to see them be faithful in staying with him in that moment. That could have been a testimony for the glory of God. And things happened in this way. And I think it's an invitation to all of us that there's opportunity for you and I beyond what we can imagine if we make effort to stay awake to things of God. Now let me just move to I want to move to three ways we stay awake spiritually. We're talking about sleep in the natural and sleep in the spirit. And I think some of the ways we learn about how we stay awake in the natural inform us in how to stay awake spiritually. And the first one, you think about this, if you're going to, you nurses, people who stay awake, what do you do to stay awake? You folks who drive in truck, or you're driving to Florida, or we're driving to Michigan, how are you going to stay awake? What's the first one? Posture, right? Posture is important if you're going to stay awake. There's an old story from a TV show long ago. Some of you will recognize this, but there was a security guard. And he was standing guard, and some folks came along and said, you know, that guy ought to have a stool to sit on. He ought to be sitting down. Why should that security guard have to stand there like that? And they get him this stool to sit down on the job. What happens? He falls asleep. And the show ends with the place being robbed. And there's the guy sleeping away. Posture matters. If you're going to stay awake when you're driving, you don't put the seat way back, do you? If you're trying to stay awake, you don't lay down. And Jen gave you permission to tell this. You know, back when I first started preaching, back in Virginia, I used to preach my sermons to Jen at 10 o'clock Saturday night. And she'd be laying down. And she'd always fall asleep, and it didn't do much for my confidence. So we scrapped that part of the preparation. That didn't work. But it's about posture, right? It's about posture. That's why we don't have couches for you all to sit on. We have hard benches, so you stay awake. Posture matters. And if you're going to stay awake, and posture spiritually matters. And the verse in Ephesians 6 that Kathy read is so good. It says, stand firm then with the belt of truth around your waist. Stand firm with a belt of truth. I think what it's telling us, you think about the Word of God. You know, we sometimes, it's very tempting to look at the Scriptures as, you know, okay, this book. But when you think about the Scriptures that are alive by the Holy Spirit, every morning, they're a new, fresh word to you for what you need that day. It's helping us to posture ourselves to be ready for what happens. You know, this past weekend, in my Bible reading on Saturday morning, went to Romans 8 and was just nurtured by that in a profound way. And I shared it with Jen. And she says, that's exactly what I read too. And you know, those things happen, but they're reminders to us that when you read the Word of God, it has a way of posturing us for what's coming our way that day that you can't anticipate. It wakes you up. I mean, some of us can't function without our coffee. Guilty as charged. But you know, do we have the same sense of, I can't face this day without something in the Spirit to wake me up through the Word of God? It's the invitation to us. And, you know, I came across this quote. I love it. This is by Tim Keller. He says, Lord, let me be so immersed in your word that as they did for Jesus, your words spring to my mind, interpreting my moment, guiding my choices, and strengthening my heart. And I'll admit, I found that this morning. And I was like, that's it. That's what we need. Interpreting the moment. You know, we're in a unique moment right now in our country, in our society. What does it mean to be God's people right now? What does it mean? The Word empowers us to be faithful in wherever we find ourselves right now. The second point, and you can probably anticipate some of these, how you stay awake, is to be active. You stay active. And you know, if you have a job where you're moving around, it's a little easier. But if you're driving a car, it's tough to be active. You find ways when you're driving all night to stay alert. And one of the best ways to do that, of course, is to have someone else with you to talk to. You know, to keep you awake. Someone says, are you there? And you're talking about all kind of, you know, trivial things, but it's keeping you awake. And how important that is. And I come to things of the Spirit. What keeps us awake spiritually? It's being in regular conversation with God. Yes. And it's being in regular communication with people around you who keep you awake. Do you have a friend in your life who is able to poke you spiritually when you're falling asleep? We all need people like that. Just like you need someone beside you in the car talking to you. Hey, you're falling asleep. Are you okay there? Come on. Stay awake. We need people in our lives to do that for us. To be active. But you know, I also think there's another way to be active in the Spirit. And it's to be good listeners. I think back to the story of Lloyd. I wasn't there to see it, but he goes out there and he's in conversation with this young man. If you're listening well, you hear the cry of someone's heart. And I don't always listen well. You know, in our preaching class, there's a young woman, and her father's name is Twin Win, and he's a bishop in Philadelphia. And this young woman shared about her father. They have a church in Philadelphia. Lots of different people preach. And her father told her, he said, if you listen to the preachers carefully, you will hear what they are struggling with. It's true. It's true. And you know that from hearing me. You'll hear what's, you know, kind of what God's doing in my heart, what I'm struggling with. But it's so true for all of us in general. If you listen to people in your workplace who you're working with, and don't interrupt, and I'm speaking this to myself, I really am. If you listen to people, you will hear what is on their heart. And I'll confess, I have a lot of work to do in the area of listening well. Because it's when we're actively listening to one another that we are tuned in to ways to respond in things of the Spirit. And when we're not listening well, it's a way of being asleep. And God wants to wake us up to ways we can be in each other's lives. The third way, and I think in some ways the most important way to stay awake, is to be rested. That sounds like a little bit of irony, doesn't it? But those of you who work the night shift, you know what I'm talking about. If you're going to stay awake all night, you prepare by, one of the ways you prepare is by resting. If you're going to drive all night, and for me it's like this, if I'm going to drive all night, we're going to drive all night to Michigan, we don't often do that, but if I have an hour or two nap, it makes a tremendous difference in my ability to stay awake. Now, there's a wonderful verse in Isaiah 30. It says this, in repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. You ever think about repentance as rest? That there's something very wearying about stubbornly clinging to our own sinful attitudes and ways. And there's something so restful about saying, God, I give up. I repent of this attitude. And I know I've been defensive about this, but I confess that to you and this to you. And God says, that is rest, like nothing else, to repent. You know, when you take a nap in the natural, what are you doing is you are intentionally making yourself weak for a period of time so that you can be strong at another moment. There's nothing like a good power nap. The world would be a better place if we all took a nap. But it's in the Spirit, it's this way of saying, I'm becoming weak so that I can be filled with the Spirit of God at my place of weakness so that I can be strong. And, you know, that's what Peter and the disciples had yet to learn. That they were, it actually says in the Scripture, it says they were sleepy, they were weary, they were exhausted from grief. All kinds of things can exhaust us spiritually. Resentment can, grief can, unforgiveness can, you name it. These exhaust us. And repentance is a pathway to rest that strengthens us by God's Spirit. And, you know, the story of the disciples is, as we move into the book of Acts, as these people were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they learned in a new way how to rest in God's repentance, to be filled with God's Spirit, to be fully awake to what God is placing before them. The Scriptures say, wake up, O sleeper, and Christ will shine on you. That's the promise for us. The Spirit is willing. And I invite you to go forth from today in the power of that promise that when you are weak, God makes you truly strong. God bless you in the name of Jesus. Amen.